We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Beamish and Finley, we're back right here, 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along on social media. The show at Beamish and Finley. Joining us now on the BetQL guest line, Bet Smarter, Beat the Books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com, Mr. Ike Reese. Ike is the co-host of Mark's Reese up in Philly on WIP and a former Philadelphia Eagle. Ike, thank you very much for the time, man. How you doing?
What's up, fellas? What's up, big bro?
Normally, B-Mitch would do the introduction, but he's eating his lunch.
Nah, he just coming.
He better not be eating his lunch.
Hey, man, I eat from 11 to 7 now. I'm doing a little intermittent fasting for about a week or two. What's going on with you, brother?
What's up, bro? I ain't doing much, man. Not much, man.
Why do you call him Lemonhead?
Well, you work with him, don't you?
I mean, it is a big, bald head.
You've seen that head, haven't you? You've seen that head, right?
It's a big one.
Man, now listen. I don't know how old you are, but D. Mitch and I, we grew up where, you know, as kids, we ate lemon heads as a candy, and he knows that his head is like the lemon head on that box of candy. And the fact that he's one of the very few running back / return man offensive players that actually punish defensive players with that head of his. So, yeah, that thing is like a battering ram, man, when you play it out there on the field.
I tell you, boy, friend, with friends like you, I'm not going to need no damn enemies.
Like,
and he taught me all my bad habits, you know what I mean, that I learned out there on the football field, too.
I believe that. All the talk down here in D.C. is about the Washington football team minicamp. I believe the Eagles are going through minicamp at the same time. What's the word coming out about Nick Sirianni's new team?
Well, I think once everybody got past the initial introduction and, you know, Coach Sirianni's energy that he usually brings through his press conferences and what have you. He's very excited to be in the position that he's in. I think the response I've gotten from players and listening to his players talk, they all seem to be rejuvenated. The guys that have been here for the past few years seem to be rejuvenated by his energy and sort of his youthfulness and his different ways of finding ways to be able to put together competitive environments. I know it's difficult during this COVID time. So, you know, he stressed the importance of, you know, trying to build a culture where guys want to compete and it's all about winning. And the guys seem to be, at least right now, responding to it. From the outside, we just get snippets of it. So, And B. Mitchell tell you, he knows how we are as a fan base. We're very skeptical of everybody until you start winning football games. So, you know, you don't get half of the fan base that seems to be picking up on his excitement and his energy, and then you get the other half of the fan base that is waiting till the season starts to see how he handles football games and whether or not he can win football games. So right now, to me, it's a positive. To me, things seem to be a positive.
Well, I think when I was reading something this morning where he had him doing some type of their ball's tied to this little thing that yanks it back, and they were having a competition there.
Yeah.
Something about some three-point competition. And you're right.
Right.
In Philadelphia, he can do all that now, but he better win some damn football games where they're going to all talk about those same things he's doing today will be the same things they use to bash him.
Yes. I mean, now listen, this is true. And that's why when you're here and you got to earn sort of the trust of this fan base, we are going to judge you on just about everything you do. And so right now, all we can judge you on is what we're seeing from Zoom calls and the little bit of snippets we get of practice and video we get. But I've gone through several coaching changes here since I've retired. And Chip Kelly came in and the smoothies and the sleep apnea. I mean, just all types of things. Just all types of new ways that they were going to bring to the game of football. And the only thing people care about is whether or not you win football games. It's all great in the beginning because it's new. But if it doesn't lead to wins, you're going to get criticized for it. So I will say this. For a team that won the Super Bowl 3 years ago, 4 years ago, however long it was ago now, and with Doug Peterson as well-liked as he is in this town, it's amazing how fast things got old and sort of stale.
What happened?
A change was needed.
What, like, ownership wanted to keep riding with Carson and Doug wanted out? Like, what? How did that fall apart that fast?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, all I can do is go by what, I mean, you take bits and pieces of whatever version of what happened, whomever tells you it, and you just go with that. All I can tell you from the outside looking in is that it just didn't seem like the chemistry was conducive to winning. Throughout the building, I don't know if there was one particular person or three, four, five, six particular people that was at fault. I can just say it was a cultural thing. And sometimes when you win unexpectedly, you know, B. Mitch can tell you, you know, he won a Super Bowl. You ask him what it was like the year after they won the Super Bowl and whether or not who gets credit for it and who wants to get paid because of it and who's not getting credit for it and now who now feels like everything they says should be treated as gold and everything else. I mean, that's what winning can do to an organization and to a culture. And that's why you got to admire what the Patriots were able to do for so many years. Not very many teams repeat as champions, and there's a reason why. And so even with that, it still shouldn't have led to Doug Peterson being fired and your franchise quarterback being traded. Whatever led to that, only they know what ultimately led to that. But I can just tell you, when you put together a team that's not necessarily built from the ground up and through the draft, and you have a bunch of mercenaries come in, everybody is not committed to one cause like they were in the beginning. And so, you know, and that could have also contributed to what happened with the team. But I tell you, no one is going to give the Super Bowl back. So if this what is the result of it, if this is what the result of it was, so be it. I'm not giving back the memories that I had from that Super Bowl. So it's unfortunate, but this is where we are.
I was at that Super Bowl. It was wild.
Yeah.
Go ahead, B.
We are down here when we a lot of what happens this year hinges on one Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't know if you played against him, but you watch him and you can see how good he can be. You also can see how he can go the other way. What are your thoughts on a guy like a Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Oh, I like Ryan Fitzmagic, man. I do. But you got to have realistic expectations with him. I mean, and that's the bottom line, right? And I don't even know if I played against him or not. He's played so long, I don't know if I played against Ryan Fitzpatrick in his earlier days. I may have. I honestly don't even know. But we've all watched Ryan throughout his career, and it's because he's been able to be an overachiever, and he's overcome adversity, and he represents the guy who doesn't have all of the attributes that the big arm franchise mobile quarterbacks have, and he still found a way to put together a remarkable career for what his talents will allow him to have and do. And you got to have realistic expectations. And what I mean by that is Ryan Fitzpatrick, let's say if he's able to start 12 games, he's going to give you six or seven very good games, but you have to expect four or five bad games in there, or at least three bad games in there, and two so-so games in there. And that's just what he's been. And so you almost have to make sure you put a good enough team around him. But the thing I like about him is his moxie. Yeah. And that's the type of stuff that rubs off on the other players. It's really about what you ask him to do. If you don't ask him to carry the team, I think he can be more than an adequate quarterback. But if you ask him to put the team on his back and go out there and throw for 300 yards every weekend and carry a team, then you're asking for trouble when you do that. So I like him, but you got to have realistic expectations when it comes to what he's capable to do at that position.
It's going to be interesting. When you look at the NFC East, who do you think is going to win it?
Washington.
More than the Cowboys, too.
Yes.
Why?
I do. More than the Cowboys, because I think Washington, as of right now, has the best coach in the division. And when I just look at the brand of football that I like, I think Washington has a team that's sort of built in the way that I would like a team to be built. When you talk about physical, tough-minded football that aren't going to abandon the running game, understands the importance of field position, you know, those types of things, and just solid, sound decision-making. And to me, their biggest question is whether or not Fitzpatrick can hold up for 17 games and play well enough. I like all the other parts that they have down there, the running game, the passing game, the receivers, the defense, I believe is going to be the best defense in the division by far. So I like Washington. You know, Philadelphia for me is a team, before all my Eagles fans like, what the hell is going on right now? Philadelphia for me is a team that I don't know what to expect. They almost get to work with a blank canvas this year. They have question marks at the two most critical positions of a football team, the head coach and the quarterback. So they get to paint with a blank canvas this year as far as I'm concerned. No expectations. Shoot for the stars. If it happens, great. If it doesn't, we see what we got to build from there. And obviously Dallas is everybody's favorite in the division, and I can understand why. But I got to see what Dak looks like coming off of that injury. They didn't do a whole lot defensively in my mind other than adding Micah Parsons to that defense, another linebacker. They had plenty of them down there. I don't know if that defense is really ready to play championship football in January and in February. So they'll score a lot of points, but they're also going to give up a lot of points. And the Giants, I think, is the wild card in the division. What will Daniel Jones be this year? Right? Like, he has enough talent around him to make some noise. But it's really about what is he as a quarterback this year, and can he utilize that talent? So that's why I like Washington, man. You got a veteran quarterback that has a ton of experience, and you got a head coach that I believe that understands the limitations of a quarterback and won't ask him to do things he's not capable of doing. So it'll be a tight race, but I would give the nod to Washington. A
lot of questions about Devontae Smith before they picked him, and what are your thoughts on him now at this point?
I just hope everything that I would fear about taking a wide receiver of his size in the first round don't come true. As simple as that. I mean, you watch him on film, you know he's talented. Any blind man can see that he's talented and that he has the ability to be explosive and electrifying. But history says it's a risk taking a player of that size and asking him to be a volume player. And that's my thing, is whether or not, what role do you envision using him as? Is he a guy that's going to get you, try to get the ball in his hands double-digit times in the game, whether it be the run game or the passing game? Or is he a guy that's going to be like a DeSean Jackson where, you know, you give him the ball five or six times a game and make sure you keep him outside the hashes where he can do most of his work? So I don't know how they're going to use Devontae Smith. I know we're all excited about having him here as being an Eagle.
What about Jalen Hurts? I mean, we got our questions here with Ryan Fitzpatrick, but Fitzpatrick has a much bigger, wider, broader body of work. Is Hurts an NFL quarterback. I mean, we all watched him in that Week 17 game between Washington and Philly last year, and he was certainly able to run around the field, undoubtedly, but the pass game was pretty rough.
Yeah, and I don't know how much stock we can put into that game. I understand you guys got in the playoffs because of that game, but I'm not sure the Eagles was putting their best foot forward trying to win that game. And
One of the reasons I'm trying to be measured in my expectations for the 2021 season. I don't know that right. Washington gets in the playoffs if they don't bench Hurts for Sudfeld, right? Yeah. Like,
no doubt about it.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. The Eagles would have won that game. Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But the biggest question for Washington is having a quarterback that can be there every week to play. I like the other parts of their team. But you asked me about Jalen Hurts. He's obviously the number one question for everybody. It's Nick Sirianni's first year. He's not going anywhere after this season. They're not going to replace him. But we all understand that Jalen Hurts is somewhat on a he's basically getting a chance to audition to be the starting quarterback. Yeah, I mean, that's basically what he's doing. He's going in his on-the-job training to audition for the opportunity to be the franchise quarterback. They took him in the second round. They obviously like a lot of things about him. And there are things I like about him as well. I think there's a good football player there. How good? Only time will tell. I mean, players develop year after year, and they get better incrementally year after year. This would be technically his second year, but he hasn't played but four games. How big of a leap will he make in his second year? And can he stay on the field? They've added an extra game. We're talking about 17 games now. So that puts pressure on that quarterback to be out there even longer. And as of right now, most people would agree that his best attribute is his legs. It's not his arms. So as a quarterback in this league, eventually you're going to have to play the game from that pocket and throw the ball, especially with this coach. They want to throw the ball. It's not like it's Baltimore. It's Philly. They want to throw the ball. So he's going to have to develop as a passer. And we're all excited to see what he does this year. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you they gave him a bunch of weapons like they did in New York or in Cleveland and some of these other places, but they put some young talent around him. And the key to me will be, will the Eagles be patient with him?
Yeah.
Will they be patient?
That's a tough town to be patient.
Yeah. Well, listen, I know the organization. Well, I mean, I know the fans won't be patient. I'm not worried about that.
Right.
No, I'm talking about the people who control whether or not he gets to continue to start under center. So, in other words, would they allow him to struggle? Would they allow him to grow week to week like virtually a rookie would be growing? He's only played four games. So if he gets off to a rough start, and the team is 1-3, you got to stick with a young quarterback if you're giving him a legit opportunity to prove he's your starting franchise quarterback. If he's looking over his shoulder, then that's not going to be helpful to him in his development. So it'll be interesting to see how the Eagles handle Jalen Hurts going through the season, and whether or not they allow him to grow and develop and struggle like all young quarterbacks do. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't think Flacco is going to Philly to be a backup. Like, he didn't love that, what happened in Baltimore with Lamar. I don't think he loved what happened in with the Jets last season with Darnold. Like, I feel like
might be at the point where he's a backup.
Yeah, maybe you just take what you can get.
He may not have a choice.
I agree with both of you, but I agree with Philly too, though. Because here's why: there is still, as of right now, a competitive bone in Joe Flacco. So, in other words, he's not coming here to drink coffee and watch film and hold a clipboard every week. If he believes he has one last shot at being a starting quarterback in this league, then I believe initially he's going to be all in on trying to show he can still do that. Unfortunately for him, it's going to really take Jalen Hurts struggling for Joe Flacco to play. They're not going to be in a real quarterback competition.
Agreed.
No, Jalen Hurts, it's his job to lose. So he would basically have to play bad enough for them to go to Joe Flacco.
But Joe Flacco needs to understand the backup did take him to the Super Bowl, so he may have that opportunity.
That's right.
And Flacco went to Delaware. He's a South Jersey guy, isn't he? So he probably grew up an Eagles fan, is my guess.
Sure. Believe me, if Jalen Hurts starts to struggle, I would expect a lot of phone calls from Audubon, New Jersey, where Joe Flacco is from. I expect to start to get those phone calls if Jalen Hurts starts to struggle.
Listen, make sure everybody's following Ike on Twitter. I do. It's fun. At Ike58Reese. Last one, Sixers. Do they have what it takes to win it all?
All right, I got to be honest with you. I'm having a hard time seeing anybody beating Brooklyn.
Yeah, they look outrageous.
Right now, see, if I knew that I was going to get aggressive Ben Simmons on the offensive end of the court every game, I would be willing to go all in and say, yeah, I could see the Sixers winning the championship. I could see it. But the only problem is that when you go up against Brooklyn, man, you can't just play on one end of the court. You're going to have to try because they got three snipers coming at you every time they come down the court. And you can't just expect Joel Embiid to even if he scored 40, it wouldn't be enough to beat those three. So if I had more confidence that Ben Simmons would be aggressive on the offensive end, I would actually put money down that the Sixers would win it. As it is, I just got to root like a homer. I'm just going to be a homer and root for the Sixers to win. You know how it is, B. It's one thing to say I'm rooting for the team. It's another thing to say I'm betting that the team is going to win.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
Hey, Ike, we really appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Thanks for having me. Talk to you later, bro.
All right, bro. Take care, man.
All right. That was Ike Reese from Philadelphia joining us. We appreciate that. A lot to discuss when we return. Ron Rivera, Washington football team minicamp is over. O-V-E-R, over. Like Vince Carter in the dunk contest. Ron Rivera spoke about Montez Sweat's decision not to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And we're going to play you that audio when we return right here, 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell. Are you tired of credit card bills and high interest rates? You ready to pay off your credit card balances and start saving money? Well, get a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Rates start as low as just 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is over 19% APR. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of your loan. Whatever it starts with is going to be that for the life of the loan. Plus, you can even get money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserves a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Mitchell. That's LightStream.com/Mitchell. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.9% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Mitchell for more information.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at PitchHitRun.com.
1067 The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley. Follow Brian on Instagram at BMitch30. Follow me at JP Finley NBCS. I posted some videos yesterday, actually pretty cool, about the quarterbacks working their way through their warm-up process.
Mm-hmm.
We just had Ike Reese from Philadelphia on the program. Ike said he believes the Washington football team is the front runner to win the NFC East. Why? They have the best head coach in the division and the best defense in the division. Where questions remain, Brian, is at quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a good quarterback. Ike Reese said he just can't be asked to carry the team. Sounds about right to me. Mm-hmm. I really believe it. We crunched the numbers in the last three seasons, 27 games. He averages 1.5 touchdowns to every interception. That can win games.
It can.
You just can't turn the ball over too much.
But the thing that Ike said, I think, is very much in play, where he said that if they expect him to carry the team, that could become a problem. If they don't, it won't become a problem.
Certainly.
And I don't think they're going to expect him to carry the team. So that'd be cool.
So here's what I want to do. I want to go to the phones. How much do you trust Fitz to win games for Washington? Or maybe how much do you trust Fitz not to lose games for Washington? Let's start with Ben in Germantown on the Gambit DC listener line. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. Benny boy, what do you think? How much do you trust Fitz?
First of all, thanks for taking my call. I mean, I think the guy nailed it on the head, man. As long as Brian Fitzpatrick isn't asked to do too much, he's going to be just fine. He's probably going to win us more games than we expect. I mean, if you look back at that year that he had with the Jets and Chris Ivory rushed for 1,000 yards and he put up 31 touchdowns, he had a successful season, enough to get him another contract with the Jets. I mean, I think that's Gibson, and I think that Gibson will have 1,000 on the ground and somewhere around 300 to 500 in the air, you know?
All right. Thank you, Ben. So Ben trusts Ryan Fitzpatrick. I haven't gotten Lamphill to weigh in on this yet, and I'd like him to, because Lamphill trusts no one. Lamphill, how much do you trust Ryan Fitzpatrick for the 2021 season?
I trust Ryan Fitzpatrick to entertain me for the 2021 season. I don't know if it means they're going to win games, but I think it'll be entertaining.
What do you – so you're not buying the decrease in interceptions and the – I mean, he was top five in QBR last year. He's a different quarterback now than he was 10 years ago.
I'm not buying the decrease in interceptions, no. I mean, the guy's like 43 years old. You don't just suddenly change. He's going to be the same player he's been his whole career. It's going to be entertaining as hell. And, you know, we're all going to get our hearts broken. But a bunch of teams make the playoffs now, and there's 17 games. You know, maybe they can make the playoffs. That's, and it'll be fun to watch. That's what I think about this season.
So you've got them at 9-8?
Something like
seven.
That. Yeah.
I think they can win the division. I'm a little worried about the Giants, but I think the Cowboys' defense is worse this year than it was last year. And
you won't know that until they get on the field.
I like Dak a lot as a player.
Yeah.
But you got to play a little defense, too.
You got to play some defense, but I'm saying, like, you know, when they get on the field, we'll know what happened. They changed it up a little bit, who's going to be running it. That's the difference. But if Dak is anywhere close, they are loaded at receiver.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's the whole thing. Ike was right when he said, let's see where he goes, where he's at after this injury, because – if he's anywhere close to what he was, you remember last year when their defense was horrible, he was putting up numbers. If that defense makes any improvement, then that changes up things a little bit. So I just think, like I said, for this team, I want to see certain things happen. I want to see them on the field because they were historically bad last year. If they get worse than that, then hell. Everybody on defense should be fired.
Let's go to the phones. The question for the phone lines, Gambit DC listener line, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. How much do you trust Ryan Fitzpatrick to lead the Washington football team this year? Let's start with our guy Jonesy in D.C. Jonesy, you're on with B. Mitch and Finley.
What's going on, B. Mitch?
What's up, brother?
Hey, what's happening, Jerry?
Hey, buddy.
Check this out. My trust level is like, what was it, a 7.5. before I saw that cicada on his beard and my feet yesterday.
That was something else, dude.
I'm trying to tell you now. But I agree with what Reese is saying. I think they're not going, if they don't put the team on him, ask him to actually carry the team, I think he'll do great. I think we'll have a balanced running game to go along with him that will lessen him to have to throw and come back in games. Because a lot of those games I looked at in the past between Tampa and when he was with the Dolphins, he had to pretty much pull those teams out of a hole. So I don't think he's going to be in a lot of those kind of games here. I think it's going to be even, and if he finds himself in games where though he's ahead, oh, my God, I think we'll be able to, take over. So that's my take on it. So
right,
7-7 is where I'm at.
Gotcha.
All right. Thank you, Jonesy. So – did he give us a number there at the end? Was he saying 7? Is that 7 out of 10? Or yeah, just 7?
7.
He's a 7, and we don't really know what it's out of. So we're assuming 10?
What if it's out of 50?
He says a 7.5. It probably was a 10. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably is.
We'll assume it was a 10.
All right, so
if it was a 20, we're in trouble.
That is a good exercise from Jonesy. On a scale of 1 to 10, let's establish a scale. That's also helpful. Where are you trusting Ryan Fitzpatrick? I'm guessing over under for Landfill is a 6. Where are you at, Landfill?
Like I said, my level of trust in him entertaining me personally is like a 9.5. On him performing well enough that the team wins games, wins the division, makes the playoffs, more like a 5.
So my over under was pretty good there. Mm-hmm. Where are you, B?
I'm kind of weighing on the fact, like what Ike was discussing, and this is what I feel. When he talked, he was like, well, I don't just go out. I go down fighting. If he's in a position where the defense is playing like they did, and he doesn't have to force things, my level is at a 7.58. But if it's any situation where people get up and we start getting in trouble, it drops damn near to a 5. So I'm expecting this defense to set the tone and lead the way, and then he reacts to that. And if they're doing their job like they did last year, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick can have one of those fantastic years.
I'm with you at that 7.5 level. But, man, this defense better be ready to go, because I'm looking. Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. There could be some points getting scored. You might need your offense here. You might need to push the gas on offense, and that could dial up the pressure. Let's go to line 2. Let's go to KC in DC. KC, you're on with B. Mitch and Finley. How much do you trust Ryan Fitzpatrick?
How you doing, fellas? You guys are rocking the radio.
Thanks.
Kudos to you all.
Thank you.
I think it's going to come down to, there's going to be games where the defense and the offensive line are going to make it so we are outclassing our opponent, and he will be the manager of that game, and he'll do very well. I think we're going to have games where, because of the schedule and maybe injuries, we're going to be outclassed, and he's going to be called on to do something special, and those are going to be the tough ones. I think the real measuring of what he's going to be able to do is when we hand him the ball with 4 minutes to go and we're winning, or when we hand him the ball with 2 minutes to go and we're losing. I think those games is where you can measure how good or how bad your quarterback, your coordinator, your receivers, and how that line's going to perform. So I'm hoping that he does a good job in managing all the games that he can manage between the defense and as good as the offensive line should be, sort of like a Ravens-Dilfer deal. But I think we're going to get outclassed in a little bit because of the schedule. And those games he won't look good in. But if he can win the games we hand him the ball with 4 minutes to go and with a lead and we win those games, and if he can win a couple games when we hand him the ball at 2 minutes to go and he can win a couple of those games, I think he could have a great season.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call, KC.
I hope if we are leading and it's 4 minutes in the game, I hope we get to the point where I always talk about, everybody talk about the 2 minute offense. That's such thing as a 4 minute offense. I hope that he just has to turn back and hand it to Antonio Gibson or Barber or anybody else in the backfield and say, close this game out. to where their running game is well enough to where we need to close it out and we can take the ball and don't have to let the defense come back on the field or throw one pass to try to keep things going. Just run it at them every time.
A run game?
That'll help him out.
A run game is a quarterback's best friend.
There you go.
And that would certainly help Fitzy out. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep taking your calls. Here's the question. How much do you trust Ryan Fitzpatrick for the 2021 Washington football team? Is he the right guy? He's the guy now, period. The thought of a quarterback competition ain't happening. It's Fitzy's job to lose, and to lose it, he'd have to bomb out in extraordinary fashion. It's his job, all right? So let's not expect this to be a quarterback competition, but this is a 17-year veteran that has bounced around a ton. He's never been in this situation where he's the guy on a playoff team. How much do you trust him? We want your calls. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067.
When Taylor got back in there, it was good to see Taylor. His, the one thing that you can say about Taylor is he's an extremely accurate passer, delivers a really good ball to the receivers. His rapport with those guys is also very good. So it's going to be a good competition. It really is. I look forward to it. I think it's going to push our football team and make our football team better. I just feel that, going into this, knowing we have a proven guy there that has the ability to lead us, but again, we have a guy in Taylor that shows us that he can do it. They're going to compete. They're going to push, and I'm looking forward to it.
Super freaky now. That was Washington football team head coach, Mr. Ron Rivera, talking about Taylor Heinicke and Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think it's good to compete. It's good to push one another. But it's Fitzpatrick's job. Let's be clear about that.
I believe it.
Follow the money. Nothing else, just follow the money. The question for the phones, and we got a lot of folks calling in. How much do you trust in Ryan Fitzpatrick? Beamich and I are about the same, 7, 7.5 out of 10. Is that right?
Yeah.
Landfill's at a 5.
But a 9.5 on being entertained by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Let's go
which
to
is important.
9, yeah, it'll certainly be entertaining. I mean, he had a cicada living in his beard. Let's go to Jerry in Newburgh. He says he's coming around. Jerry, what's up, man? You're on with Beamish and Finley.
What's up, gentlemen?
What's up, man? How you doing, dude?
So when we first signed him, I probably would have put it about 3 out of 10 because I've seen Fitzmagic and I've seen Fitztragic. But at this point, the way we've assembled the team around him, we've assembled the perfect kind of, risk-taking offense with a lot of speed. I know some weekends I want to be yelling at him. I'm going to yell at him in joy, yelling at him in anger. But at this point, I'll give him a solid 7.5 out of 10.
Seven and a half out of ten. That number's growing on folks. Thank you, Jerry. Got some tweets on the old Fitzmagic trust level. Metal Hip says, I think the better.
Metal Hip.
Metal Hip. Not Leg Ham. Metal Hip.
Metal Hip.
He says, I think the better question is how many games can we get Fitzmagic instead of Fitztragic? Mm-hmm. If we can get 8 games of Magic, then maybe 2 wins from the defense, we're looking at a 10-win season. All right, Metal Hip. This is from Angry Rob. Angry Rob, always listening. We appreciate you, buddy. He says, I trust Fitzy to be Fitzy, a 10 out of 10. That's kind of Lamphill's point. I trust him to win games, a 7.5 out of 10. So he's doing some math. You ready for this, B? 7.5 confidence times 17 games equals a 9-8 record.
Oh.
Here's some other math. I don't know about this one. This is from Nick Palestro on Twitter. It says, I trust Fitzpatrick less than I trust Haskins to hang out with more strippers this coming season, but I also have really high confidence in that.
So he's not worried about the football.
He doesn't seem
talking about what he's going to do off the field.
He doesn't seem particularly high.
So in other words, he's saying he's going to be winning off the field.
Winning off the field, indeed. Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Tyree. Is that Fort Belvoir? What's up, Tyree? You're on with B. Mitch and Finley.
How you guys doing today?
Doing great, good, man.
I think it's going to be a great season, honestly. Like, I'm not a huge fan of him, but he's proven to me that, like, with the right people, the right core, the offense can do great. I just think if the offense can get going, everyone stays healthy, the defense does what they're supposed to do, and they stick to the assignments, I feel like we should have a great season. I'd say I have at least an 8, 8.5 to 9 about his playing skills, but playoff-wise, I'm only giving them 50-50 shot. I just don't see them competing up against those teams.
All right, man.
Thank you for the call, Tyree. Appreciate you, man. We haven't heard from Cody Betts. Cody, I don't think you're really drinking the Fitz Kool-Aid.
No, I'm not. And that's because I'm looking at his stats, right? He's only played in 16 games 3 times. He's only had 10 or more wins 1 time. Where are we coming up with these numbers that he's going to be the next magical player? And he's 39 years old. I just don't understand. Please, please tell me.
So where are you on the 1 to 10 scale?
Like, I'm not a Washington fan, so I'm looking at this, like, super unbiasedly. I'm thinking, like, a 4.5. What are they going to do to put him in situations that are successful? They're playing a really tough schedule. You guys have talked about it numerous times. Fans, they're not facing Ben DiNucci 6 times.
We need more Ben DiNucci.
And you're getting more Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
You know what's remarkable? Cody Betts is less optimistic than Landfill.
Wow.
That's hard to do.
Well, you know, they're in the same room every day, so he might be rubbing
off. They're rubbing off on one another. Here's the thing is, I kind of hear what you're saying. I tried, what is Dr. Fauci's title? Is he the chief COVID scientist? Something like that?
That's not the title.
That's not the title?
No, I'm sure that's not the title.
I like to think of myself as the chief Ashburn syndrome scientist. I can spot Ashburn syndrome coming a mile away. I can diagnose it. Sadly, there is no cure. But for those that don't understand Ashburn syndrome, we've been talking about this for years on the podcast. Ashburn syndrome is we all have this unique ability to talk ourselves into players and convince ourselves that they're much better than they actually are.
Can I tell you why?
Why?
Because it hadn't been many players that have come along over a long decade of years. No, not a decade. More years than that has been consistent to where you say, okay, boom, we've always been looking for this position, that position, and we always go based off of what we didn't have to automatically assume the next person is going to be better. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And I think that is a part of it. Listen, that little thing we talked about last week when we started talking about all the different things, I say if you win, you change a lot of stuff. Doing that consistently will make you not automatically make everybody that runs through here the next best thing. Right now, everybody that comes in there and put on a uniform, we automatically assume they are far better. Not because they are, because they're replacing somebody that's probably awful. That's how it works.
Ashburn syndrome is real. And I think Cody Betts is probably providing a dose of reality to a lot of folks that are Ashburning themselves into thinking Ryan Fitzpatrick is possibly something more than the history books have shown. I'll never forget Simi Cobbs. Anybody remember Simi Cobbs? Undrafted free agent receiver out of Indiana. And every year there was so much excitement about Simi Cobbs. Oh my gosh, this kid. And it was the peak Ashburn syndrome ever. Eventually the Saints signed Simi Cobbs off the Washington football team's practice squad. Fans were up in arms at how could we let Simi Cobbs go? Simi Cobbs has never played in an NFL football game. Yes, exactly. Ashburn syndrome is real, and there is no cure. The only cure is actually winning football games and deciding who's good by the wins on the field as they stack up.
That was a crisis that day that happened when the Saints signed Simi Cobbs from the practice squad. There was nearly a meltdown on the fan base over that.
I think people just saw that if the Saints are signing, he must be good.
Correct.
We found out he wasn't that good.
We're going to keep talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Washington football team, plus Ron Rivera has weighed in on Montez Sweat's comments yesterday about his reluctance to get the COVID vaccine. We're going to hear from the Washington football team head coach on that topic when we return right here, 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.